Welcome! Welcome to Hug Nation! This week, I want to talk a little bit about the paradox of mankind. I was in college and I had a sociology professor explain to me that the paradox of mankind is that we must bind ourselves in order to be free. We have unlimited options, unlimited directions, but we must limit them. We must put restrictions on our possibilities in order to function. Example he gave was that the mouth can make an infinite number of sounds, but it isn't until we can confine those sounds into specific sounds and words that we can begin to communicate. The same is true with driving. You know, a car can just, you know, drive whatever direction, but until we all agree upon some limitations, this social contract that we will drive on the right, we will stop at a stop sign, it is this binding of our options that allows us actually to grow, to be more productive, to be more efficient as we limit our possibilities. And that is really the process of becoming a human being, the process of growing and being socialized. You know, a small child, very small child, looks into the sky and sees white and blue. Very soon, they look into the sky and see a cloud and sky. That shift from actually seeing things and then, once we have an understanding, seeing the symbols, having an understanding of what we're seeing, is huge. And that happens throughout all aspects of our life and our world. We agree that this color is pink, and so we call it pink. We agree upon all sorts of things. We agree upon, and that's, some things are universal, most things are cultural. Things that we learn about the way that we eat in front of other people, the appropriateness of space between, you know, where we stand so it's comfortable. And this process of going from a raw experience of the world to a symbolic experience of the world happens almost without us knowing. You can actually see a child is in that space when the child does drawings and they're in that between space of raw experience and symbols, because they draw people and they so beautifully depict the symbol of a person. You know, what with the face, you know, like a circle, stick, person. And this happens in subtle ways, such as, you know, defining the colors, and it gets way more complicated, especially as symbols become symbols, and then it all integrates into systems. And it gets to a point where we don't even really experience the world directly. We experience it as symbols. We hear a sound, and we don't hear what we hear is an ambulance. Or we hear woo woo, and we don't hear the sound woo woo, we hear a dog. Our brain converts it to symbols instantly so that we can quickly process it and be functional and efficient in the world. It is the paradox of humanity. It is a binding of the possibilities in order to be free. Now, this process, you could say it's starting to take things for granted. You know, you can't, everything you hear, spend time going, what was that? What was that? What was that? What was that? You know, you wouldn't get very far. You would be in a constant state of, what was that? What was that? And so the brain helps us to have these symbols so that we can start then putting those symbols into systems, putting those systems into complex ideas. In fact, Alan Watts says that the process of meditation, the practice of meditation, is in many ways a practice of relearning how to experience the world directly, quieting the mind and pulling back from the symbols experience and trying to re-experience them directly. Re-hear the sounds as pitches. As my voice is talking, you're not hearing the words, but ra 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 ra. Or seeing the color pattern instead of seeing flower. And that process of trying to pull back into a first-hand experience of the world. If you take a beginning drawing class, in many ways, it isn't a class about drawing at all. It's a class about relearning how to see. Because we're so, the symbol-based system of interacting with the world is so integrated that we don't even know it. We see something and we try to draw it, and we actually draw what our mind symbolizes as that. Now, this is not a bad thing. This is how we function in the world. But it can be dangerous when we don't know it's happening. And generally, we don't know it's happening. We get so integrated into the system. I mean, and there's no harm in, say, all agreeing that this is pink. But there it gets to be dangerous when we say we all agree that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Or, you know, too much eggs are bad for you. Or there's all these cultural ideas that become part of our integrated the way the world is. These are these ideas. What is an egg? What is health? You know, what they're not direct experiences. These are symbolic, complex ideas. And what can happen is those can be taught to us in very benign and loving ways, or they can be manipulated. Like an apple is a day keeps a doctor away. That was a message from the apple industry, because they, in previous times, apples were associated with sin and drinking, and so they wanted to kind of change that perception into this healthy fruit. And without understanding how these definitions and symbols and stories come to become what we believe the world to be, it's very easy just to accept it as the way it is. It's very exciting now to see what's happening in the Occupy movement, because people are having the same kind of questioning about ideas, systems that have been in place for most of our lives, things like the monetary system, things like the electoral system, ways of governing and taxing and spending money and using money and representative systems, all these things that were like, well, wait a minute. These are not absolutes. These are agreed upon definitions we've had. We've all agreed that we're going to drive on the right side of the street. We all agree that it works. Awesome. We've all agreed that the Federal Reserve gives the money and da-da-da. We all agree that wait, does it work the best? Should we be driving on the left side of the street? Okay, no. Right side of the street is good. How about the money thing? Well, let's give it some more thought. That's the thing that we need to be doing more often as possible, with our own worldviews, with our sense of what we are in the world, who we are in the world. Because there's really a very distinct line between our raw experience of the world and the story of the world that we live in. And that's awesome. As long as we can keep in mind that those things are distinct, and that something in the story is something that we've agreed upon, not something that we've experienced and know is truth. So if you can keep that distance, then you can become aware that this agreed upon thing is like a game. We have rules to the game, we've got expectations, we've got, you know, there's a whole system of how the game is played. And just like a weekend soccer game, there's nothing wrong with getting really into the game and getting sweaty and tired and struggling to make what you want to have happen in the game. But if you lose sight of the fact that you're playing a game and you think that that this is it, you are going to have a lot of anxiety. You're going to miss the mark. What you think is a victory is not going to be success at all. You think scoring 6 goals in the weekend game is going to make you happy for your whole life? No. That isn't even, I mean, it is, but it's okay to get into the game and have a blast with it. Questioning what game am I playing, who planted these rules, why do I care so much about this, is that process of making sure you have some distance between the absolute experience of the now and this realness and the game. The realness, to me, is really the feelings you have. And that's physical feelings as well as emotional feelings, love, connection, those feelings of compassion. Those things, that is an absolute real experience of the world. Feeling guilt about your bank statement is an abstract story that you're living in. You can play it hard. You can care, but know that that is vastly different than the embrace of a child. Now, excuse me. What I started to become aware of is that the human experience is intensely personal, and that the story makes it feel like we're all very integrated and it really matters what people think. That's part of the socialized story and game that we play, is that it's important to be cool, it's important to be respected, it's important, all these things. But really, that's just a game that we've started playing. Lots of people, and hopefully you are on the path of becoming one of those people, have realized, I don't want to play the game, at least not to that degree. We are very judgmental as a culture about people who decide, I don't want to play. You know, maybe, you know, it's so ingrained that it's hard to even understand what the rules might be. Things like bathing every day, being clean, you know, owning your own home and owning things, not depending on others for help, or hoarding enough things that you have safety. The whole story of safety and security is a story. There is nothing real about security. You might have a story about, oh, the bank is holding my money, I can go get this symbolic value thing, which it then will exchange for it. But I mean, that is a story. And history has shown that those stories fall apart all the time. One of the cool things, if you can look at history and you can look at anthropology, and you can see that, wait, the story that I believe to be the way it is not always the way it is. It's changed as science has given us new understandings, and culture by culture, it's totally different. One of the cool, amazing things about Burning Man is that it very forcefully removes elements of the story. And so you're sitting here in this situation that goes, whoa, okay. You get into this present state, because you have to you go back to that kind of toddler sense, except with a more developed mind, and go, okay, what is this? What is this? What is this? What is this? Oh, wow, 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 wow. And from that place, your human interactions can be different. Everything can be a little bit, it's just like, oh, wow. One of the reasons why we love traveling so much is because when you take yourself out of your take-it-for-granted life, you are force yourself to see things anew. And I don't mean take-for-granted life is a bad thing. That is, you drive to work every day the same route. It is your brain's natural functioning to stop noticing things on it. The practice of keeping that awareness is a practice of coming back to the present and continually keeping a level of awareness, so that you do keep reminding yourself how to experience the world firsthand. Even when you travel, though, you quickly, you know, the first thing is, oh, wow, the curbs are a different size. Oh, walking is different here. Oh, you order coffee in a different way here. Oh, look at the way the doors are. They look how they clean. But very quickly, you develop a acculturation, you start to realize, and your brain understands the system, and so you start to take it for granted so that you can have more complex ideas within that system. But meditation or stillness or reading or whatever lectures, the process of coming back and recognizing there's a difference between the story and you is the key. Because when you can keep those separate, you can kind of ride that line between the two. And you can enjoy the game, play fiercely, enjoy the triumphs as a game, and as an excitement, as what we are always looking for, some highs, lows, joys, triumphs, all that stuff is part of the human experience. It's the gift. And when we can do it with that awareness, then we always have this safety zone of pulling back into what is real. What is real? This moment, this experience, these sensations, these relationships, these emotions. And it gets very, very hard sometimes. And there's a lot of voices that try to make the story feel like it's all there's ever been. One of the exciting things about this time in history is the number of people that are going, wait a minute, why is it this way? because that's the hardest part. If you're the only voice saying that, you become shunned. We call that crazy. There's two types of crazy. There's a crazy that means your brain isn't working right and you hear voices and see things. And the other kind of crazy, which just means you make decisions that are contrary to what the story says is logical. You know, you don't take a promotion. You don't do the things, you don't dress a certain way. You don't keep a certain level of hygiene. You don't, whatever, you're crazy. You tattoo your face, that's crazy. Tattooing your face is kind of like a extreme example of saying, I refuse the script. I'm going to force myself never to get caught up in the game. Brr, now no one will ever pull me into the game. I think there are less extreme ways to do that. That's kind of like cutting off your nose to spite your face. But it is an important part of the practice so that you can appreciate, enjoy the excitement, appreciate, and get back to what's real. Now, this is a really, I feel like I'm right in the middle of this kind of idea, and so it's hard for me to express, but it's so huge. I mean, really the spiritual path of recognizing the internal journey is really about saying, look, whoa, go inward. You can't change, I mean, you can change the world, but that will not change anything. The world, all of it, is a story. Your world, your life, your consciousness, your experience is one level of truth. And then everything else is a story. For all I know, the President of the United States is just a story. I choose to engage and adopt certain elements of that story. I bind myself in order to be free. But if I get too stressed out about those things, I gotta remember, that's a story. The only truth I know is, I'm right here. As Byron Katie says, man sitting in chair. That's a truth. Everything else is a story. So from my truth in this moment, I'm man staring at camera. And there's a story that I believe to be true, that there are people receiving this vibration. There are people that are vibrating in the same frequency. There are people that are allowing themselves to be more vibrant vessels of love in the world. And that makes this now such a treat, such a joy. This game is awesome. So let's have a Hug Nation hug and just sit in that space between the intensely personal and the consensual story. Grab yourselves by the shoulders. Take a moment to feel your body. Feel your toes. Feel your seat in the chair. Hear the sound of my voice. Hear it. Hear the pitch of it. Imagine the vibrations coming through your speakers and hitting your ear. That is a real experience. And these words become symbols, which become ideas, which become a story. The story is beautiful. The experience is beautiful. And the journey between the two is the joy and gift of our lives. And know that all conflict in your world, all obstacles, all anxiety are elements of the game, elements of the story that you have chosen to play. So forgive yourself for getting caught up in it. Forgive anyone else who seems to be caught up in it. And just for a moment, let's just sit in that place of our intensely personal understanding of our perfect now oneness with everything. Nothing is undone. All our needs are met. We are abundant and whole and at peace. We are vessels of love and seeds of the divine. Take a deep breath. on behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the Love Warriors, happy Hug Nation. Thank you for being you, for returning to your personal, blissful experience, for sharing that with the world, for receiving, for playing the game. Thanks for being a part of this game. Thanks for letting me be a part of your game. The story is awesome, no matter how it turns out. I love you. Namaste.
You only live once. Enjoy the color.